Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Yes. Yes. Our minister is in our midst already. So can we make welcome Apostle Mike Oropo as he continue. Make it very loud. Make it very loud.
Let's talk to Jesus very quickly. Tonight the Lord wants to set people on fire. You tell him you are ready. And you open your heart to the Lord. To be lit. To become the candlestick that will stand and be a witness to Zion in your territory. And you become the reason why the veil of darkness in your territory will be rolled away. You become the witness of heaven on the earth, in your region, in your family, in your territory. And you tell him you are willing to pay the price of alignment so that you will be numbered among the very few that bear the burning torch over generations. Not too many are found worthy. There are many preachers. Every dispensation, there are many teachers, there are many apostles, there are many evangelists, but very few stand in the office of priesthood. Men who stay at the background and raise incense to Zion so that the witness of God in the territory can find expression. And you tell the Lord you are willing to bear the burden. The burden. Some of us, our names may never be heard, but the reason the operations of the Spirit in the territory will be strong is because we raise incense. And you align. Tonight. Tonight. Tell the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Father, we thank you for this privilege of being numbered in you. We come to your feet tonight to be instructed in the ways of the kingdom. We ask, O God, that beyond the revelations and the understandings that will be furnished, that there be supply of your Spirit. So that which we hear and understand, we may become. Help us tonight and take all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. We've come to the last day of the meeting. And this evening, many of us, we walk in the experience of the things we've been teaching. We walk in the reality of the things we've been hearing. And it will not just end in this hall, but we take it to our words and change it for the better. The Holy Ghost himself will be ministering to us tonight. And as your spirit man is open, you will receive from the Lord. I want to appreciate God's servant again for putting this meeting together. We've all been blessed tremendously. Can you please celebrate the man of God, Pastor Ata? It's such a great honor. In a hub of medical sciences where people are given completely to cerebrality, it's amazing that you could be talking about the supernatural. I'm sure for programs like this to be better, many incense were raised. And we will glide on the strength of your prayers tonight and bring many persons into the experience of the workings of God. I came with my friend, Pastor Victor Ogbe. You know, tonight is a night of prayer, so I needed to bring him as a witness. He's a burning altar. He's a burning altar. Victor is a burning altar. Glory to God. And my brother Samson Otonu. Samson is here with us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for having me. God will bless us this evening. My friend and covenant brother Abba Benedict is here. I celebrate you. Glory to God. I'm happy I'm seeing men of prayer, because we will create an apostolic quorum this night and raise certain declarations over the territory. You see, Apostle Colin, the strange man of fire. There will be a quorum tonight for us to press into certain operations of the Spirit. I saw when Faith Oita came up, she was already blazing in the heavens. Let's build up a little bit, and then when we get there, we'll touch it. And the prophetess is also here, so the work will be easy. But we'll be praying and we'll be seeing. We'll be praying and we'll be seeing. So are we ready tonight? Lift your hands toward heaven. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. We cry out, God of you. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. God of you are mighty on your throne. Break forth, thou fountains of the deep. Cry out, God, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. Oh, Kadosh, God, you are mighty on your throne. You reign. We were able to establish that there are definite levels of relationship with the Holy Ghost. There are many that know Him as Father, and on the strength of the new birth, they were born into the kingdom as children. The Bible said the Spirit of God is the one that cries in us to call Him Abba Father. It's a revelation of our birthing into the kingdom. The word is technon. It means you have been born of God. And on the strength of that spiritual birth, you are entitled to the provisions of the kingdom. But we saw that it doesn't end there. Because the word for sonship is not just for a child. Two verses before then, in verse 14 of Romans 8, the Bible says that as many as are led, these ones are not just born. They follow the Holy Spirit. They have understood the systems of yieldedness. They have come to a place where they give up their natural abilities. They have shut down their proclivities, their tendencies and their desires. And they have decided to find out what it is that is in the heart of the Holy Ghost. And they follow Him. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. He said, they are the sons of God. These ones are heirs. They don't just cleave to their right to be heirs of the kingdom. They understand the burden that is in the heart of the Father. And on the strength of the responsibility that must be put in place in order for that which is in the Spirit to become natural, they decide to yield themselves. And in their yieldedness, the Holy Ghost travels with them to fulfill the will and the mind of the Father. He said, these ones are the heroes of God. So we saw that sonship in the kingdom is in levels. Because walking in the spirit is a function of different heights and different stratas. There are places you will never touch. There are things in God that will never be committed to you until you come to maturity. He said the heir, so long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. And the supernatural is one of those things that is not committed to babes, because they are tools of service in the kingdom. It's for men that have understood that there are things God wants to do in the lives of people and in territories. And on the strength of their revelation, they are willing to lay down their lives and to follow the Holy Ghost progressively until that which the Father wants to do is achieved. And that is why we say in this kingdom, we don't primarily live as sons, because sonship is manifested in twofold, either in priesthood or in kingship. And tonight we want to touch again the heart of priesthood. I want to share with you what I call priesthood intelligence, so that you know the things that must be put together before the will of God begin to find expression in your life, in your family, and in your territory. Because there are definite laws of the spirit that must be followed before what God wants to do finds expression. It is folly to think and wish the mind of God in your life or in your territory. The purposes of God are not bettered on wishful thinking. The purposes of God are bettered in definite committer to kingdom provisions. A man who does not take the body of commitment to the Father is not a candidate for manifesting the purposes of God both in his life and in his family. That is why we've been Christians for many years, but things are going wrong in our lives and in our families. One of the things that is put together to correct the infirmity of humankind is what we call the protocol of priesthood. In priesthood, there is something we learn. We learn to yield to the Holy Ghost to carry us through the sequence of spiritual development until we come to that place where we can live from the womb of the presence. Because priesthood begins when you come to the presence. It takes a lot to get there. The Holy Ghost himself has to carry you. It's not a journey you can find by yourself. It's a journey of revelation. It's a journey of the carriage of the Holy Spirit. Many Christians, but too many babes. The mind of God can never find expression. Territories where there are many churches and many fellowships, they become environment when the ambience of darkness literally can be touched. The lives of people become reflectors of the lifestyle of Hades. You look at people who are supposed to be the glory of God, they become puppets in the hands of devils. Young ladies in whom destinies of mighty intercessors, destinies of leadership are hanging, become puppets that dramatize careless lifestyles in order to give expression to the desires of spirits from the regions of Hades. We see serpentine spirits walking on the campuses. We see spirits of whoredom walking in human forms because people are not taught the ways of priesthood. Many are not yielded for God to live through them. And so our world continues to fall into decadence, and we don't know why. We gather together, we cry. We think it's all about talking and quoting grammar and English. We don't know that these things are spirit orchestrated realities. And until we come to that point where we are fully yielded, that which God wants to do can never find expression. Many asking questions, how are we going to be delivered? But they are not willing to commit to the responsibility of the making of a man of God. How do you journey into the presence and come to that point where the Holy Ghost can begin to partner with you to bring the mind of the Father to bear? It is the protocol of priesthood. As you yield to the Holy Spirit, the first thing he does for you is that he begins to reveal to you the person of the Christ. He reveals to you the offices of Jesus. you begin to see the Savior, and then on the strength of that revelation, you can have confidence that you have become a member of the family of God, because you realize you have a Savior. You don't need to do anything to be saved anymore. Somebody paid the price, and on account of the price that he has paid, you can come into the courts of God and legislate the mind of the Father. It is the revelation of Jesus that brings about salvation, and that's the first interaction that you will have with the Holy Spirit. Because if that revelation is not born in your spirit, you can never participate with the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost reveals Jesus to you. When he's done revealing Jesus to you, you will discover you are full of praise and thanksgiving. That's why the Bible says we enter into his courts with praise. Because we discover we did nothing. He did everything. But it's not enough. Unfortunately, that's where many live. And that's why Christianity is now a community of babes. They teach you everything God has done for you. So people do what they want, and they believe the Father. The Father is full of love. You have not made a mistake. You are correct. But if that is all you know, you will not be relevant. Because you are not called into just a family. You are called into a kingdom. And when you come into a kingdom, you walk by laws. There are things you need to know. There are trainings that you must be introduced to. There are places you must stand before you can carry out the mind of the Father. The men of old understood it. That's why Elijah will stand and say, "Before God whom I stand, there shall be no rain or dew." The man was speaking from the heart of the presence. He was not just talking because he was a man of God. There is a location where he was standing. He said, "Before God whom I stand." That's a man that have walked with the Holy Ghost. He has walked with the Spirit of God. If you check his life, he has died to many things. Many Christians only have the revelation of the finished works of Christ, and that is their undoing in the kingdom. Because he brings them to the kingdom, but they will never be relevant. When the Holy Ghost shows you who Jesus is, then he begins to reveal other things to you. But those other revelations are dependent upon your level of yieldedness. If you are not yielded, those revelations will be far from your quarters. After the Holy Ghost brings you into the court, the next revelation he gives you is the revelation of the cross. That's where you begin to sacrifice your life on the altar of sacrifice. He shows you what Jesus has done, and on the strength of that revelation, he expects you to become a reasonable Christian. Paul, writing the book of Romans, from Romans chapter 1 to 11, he told us everything God has done. And then from chapter 12, he said, "Therefore I beseech you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." He said, because that is your reasonable service. At this time, the Holy Ghost expects cooperation from you. When he saved you from sin, you needed not to do anything. But now there is a job that must be done, and only the reasonable can participate in it. There are many Christians that are not reasonable. Because the very first sign of your reasonability is your committer of your life to God. That's where your appetites are dying. God places a demand on your appetite. God places a demand on your desires. He places a demand on your ambition. Because at this point, he knows that you have realized that your life would have counted for nothing except as a Savior showed up, and he expects you to live for him. It's called the revelation of the cross. After you receive the revelation of the cross, then you receive the revelation of the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost. That's where fellowship becomes a lifestyle. There are many Christians that will never attend prayer meetings. When you are worshiping, everybody is dancing everywhere because it is still appealing to their emotions. They know the songs, they like the songs, but they don't know the person of the Holy Ghost. Spirituality does not run on the scale of emotion. It runs on the frequency of the Spirit. And until you come to that point where the Holy Ghost brings you into himself and washes you until you can mingle with him, you have not begun to walk in the path of spirituality. It is called the sanctifying power of the Holy Ghost. When that is revealed to you, then God takes you further. Then he brings you to the altar of shewbread, where the word of God comes alive. That's where you read the scriptures and it becomes sweet. It becomes spirit. It becomes life. The scripture begins to invigorate your human spirit. You were down, you were weak, but suddenly something pops up in your spirit. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. People don't understand what you saw. You didn't receive a promise from anywhere, but the scriptures have come alive because you have decided to follow the Holy Ghost. When he reveals the word of the Lord to you, then he begins to illuminate your spirit. It is called the systems of the menorah. That's where the mind of God becomes real to you. Then you know the part you will play in this kingdom. Because we may come in our numbers, but we have definite assignments. Even if both of us are apostles, we have definite assignments. If both of us are politicians, we have definite assignments. If we are prophets, we have definite assignment. But if you don't come to that point where the Holy Ghost brings illumination, you will think anybody can just do anything that looks reasonable. My brother, destiny is not run on the scale of reasonability. It is a definite revelation of God. Ask many Christians that come your way today, they are confused. Man of God, what will God have me do? It is not to be told, it is to be revealed. You follow the Holy Ghost and then you come to the point where he illuminates you. If you have not known it, don't struggle to find out what you should do. Follow him. What you need in your syllabus of training at that time is yieldedness. When you come to a point where your assignment will be committed to you, the Holy Ghost will tell you. Don't run asking for your assignment. Follow the protocol. When you reach that place where assignments are told to people, the Holy Ghost will tell you. Do they give you your license before you do your final exam? It's after you have passed the final exam that the license is downloaded into your portal. So people are asking questions. Am I a prophet? Am I an apostle? Because that you are asking is a sign that you have not reached there. The Bible said John was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth unto Israel. These guys did not ask what they should do. But the day of his showing forth, he came out. He said, the one that sent me, the same said unto me, upon whomever the Spirit descend and rest, he is the Messiah. Immediately he knew that he was the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Immediately he knew that his assignment was to reveal the Messiah. Immediately he knew that the strategy of revealing the Messiah was baptism. Nobody told him. He didn't go to meet a prophet. He was in the wilderness until the day of his showing forth. People don't want to follow process, but they want to arrive. It's a shortcut that is orchestrated by demonic intelligence. And men who want to follow the order of priesthood, they follow God until they come to that point where the ambience of Zion comes upon them and the vistas of heaven are open, and then the writings of their ordinations are revealed. That's when they see and they realize from the womb of the Spirit that me, I am a prophet. They may never have seen a vision until that time, but what they are telling you at that time is the news that came from heaven. An elder from the heights of Zion came and told them, today you are a prophet. That word, you cannot fight it because it was born from the Spirit. It is the strategy of creating things in the natural. Their roots must be in the Spirit. But you will yield to the Holy Ghost to bring you to that point where the mind of God is revealed. All of these things that are happening are transforming you to become the man that God can trust. Because it's not just so much about what you can do or what you should do. It's about who you will be in God. That's why the process is more important than everything. Many are not yielded. Church doesn't make men of God. Your pastor cannot ordain you as a man of God. Ordinations have their roots in the Spirit. The body of Christ can only confirm what God is doing in your life. But ordinations have their roots in the Spirit. He told Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nation. If you have not come to that point where the glimpses of your ordination begin to play out, it means you are still far on the corridor of process. What should bother you should not be who you are. What should bother you should be the degree of your alignment. Because if your alignment is intact, the day of your ordination, it will come and the Father himself will announce it. That was the life of men like John. They understood the ways of priesthood. When those things begin to happen, that's when God will begin to bring you into the presence. For priesthood legislation to begin, many run around, say they are prophets, they are apostles, and they go stand making declarations. They don't know that they are announcing themselves in the spiritual realm without backing. Because there are certain things you cannot do unless you have the backing of your office. If you don't have the backing of your office and you alter them, the spirit that keep the vote of those dimensions, they will come and they will find out whose authority are you working with. If you step out from the ambience of your ordination, they will come That's why the head of John was cut off. Elijah could not be killed. John came in the spirit and in the powers of Elijah. By ordination, the spirit of Elijah cannot be tamed by governmental powers. You don't kill them. They go to heaven by whirlwinds. But John deviated from the perimeter of his calling, from the perimeter of his office. And then when he stepped out, his head was on a charger. Because in this realm, there are legalities. And you must follow the Holy Ghost meticulously until he defines for you the borders of your ordination. Many don't know the borders of the ordination. They are just walking around floating. And when they hear what looks appealing, they begin to do it. Meanwhile, if you have not come to a point where you realize who you are, it means you have not started traveling in the corridor of life. Because every one of us, before we came here, it was written who will be. God took time to meticulously write your destiny. Say, this one will be an artist and he will design this at such a time. Did you read about Bezalel and Oholiab? He said, I have put the spirit of wisdom upon him and he will gain mastery in all kinds of artistry. Everything that has to do with artistic intelligence was wired into the man by ordination. So you come to the point where your ordination is divine. That's where you begin to live as a son in this kingdom. Sonship begins when you come to the borders of priesthood. And then God carries you through worship into the Holy of Holies. Because priesthood is a function of the presence. A priest doesn't need an anointing. He needs intelligence. Priesthood is not anointing based. It is intelligence based. It is ordinance based. It is covenant based. So a priest needs to be schooled in the ways of spirits for him to be able to weave the powers of heaven. And when we talk about priesthood intelligence, we are talking about people that live from the presence. There are many Christians who have not found the presence. And if you have not found the presence, the purpose of God can never be advanced by you. Never. It will be wishful thinking, but it will never be advanced. Because there are laws that make this thing happen. There are spirits that watch over these things. And everyone must take the labor of coming into the presence. And when you come into the presence, then priesthood intelligence begins. You are mighty on your throne. You reign. You ancient Zion's king. Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. Where are you on the corridor? Are you still at that point where you are sinning and coming back? Say, God, forgive me. Sinning and coming back. All you have seen is the revelation of the offices of Christ. Are you at that point where God can make demand of you? Say, drop this on the altar. And it's not a matter of backing. He said, no more office. Yes, Lord. No more gambling. Yes, Lord. No more football. Yes, Lord. Is that where you are? You are at the altar of sacrifice. It means you are growing in the spirit. Growth in the spirit is not how long you've been in church. Don't be deceived. You can be there for long and then every other person that came to church have left. You are the most senior man. So because of that, you are second to the pastor. You are a joker. It's not time based, it's reality based. It's not time based, it's sacrifice based. Where are you on the growth pattern? Where are you on the growth corridor? Can God come and say, Kai, drop the phone? And it's not a bargain, you are growing. It means appetites and proclivities, attitudinalities and cleavages to flesh are dying. So God say, empty the account. It's not a bargain, you are growing. Those are the indicators to show spiritual growth. Have you come to that point where you know the Holy Ghost? And the Holy Ghost can come in the night and say, rise up. This thing you did yesterday, this thing you did day before yesterday is wrong. Have mercy. And then you are going to say, don't go here, go here. Yes, Lord. You have known the person of the Holy Ghost. Have you come to that point where you want to take a decision and in the bathroom, suddenly the word of God comes out. Bah! Say, arise. Go to Boko and raise for me a people. You are growing. Have you come to that point where you can just be on the bike and then suddenly the word of God comes alive? Papa. Hey, Collins, 4 p.m. prayer. God can bank on you because the word of God has come alive in your spirit. Have you come to that point where God will tell you, yes, study and do very well because I need your mind, not your certificate? And it's not a bargain. You are growing. It's the way of priesthood. It is beyond prayer. It is the carriage of the Holy Ghost of a man into the place of his destiny. Whatever you do, get to the presence. If you have not gotten to the presence, you will not live. I tell you the truth.
Your pastors may tell you things how to prosper in this life. I'm talking to you as an apostle. When we preach, we talk about eternity. Because time is a lie. A time will come when everything you call time will be accomplished. You will travel through the veil of the divide. That's where men are arranged in their orders and in their ranking system. That's where life itself will begin, in the New Jerusalem, where Jesus is our light. That's when you will discover that everything you did in time may count for nothing. Your buildings will perish. If you came here in 2006 and you look at the buildings that were built in 2000 or 1910, you will discover those men were not wise. Because in their days, those buildings were the best things they had. But because you came 50 years later, the time you came alone show you are wiser. It means investment in life should not be about buildings. Because they waste with time. The Bible says, why labor to store up riches where moth and rot can break in and destroy? There's a place where riches are riches indeed. The things that you will carry through the gate of death, they are not the things that were bought by natural abilities and money. The things you will carry through the gate of death are the things that were born on the altar of sacrifice. Those ones will travel with you and they will stand with you in eternity. It is the intelligence of priesthood for men to understand priorities. 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 Priorities is one of the cardinal functions of priesthood intelligence. Because there are many things God wants to do that he can't do unless a man partner with him on earth. And men that partner with God are the men that are mighty in the world to come. What is your level of partnership? What's your level of partnership? When you enter the presence, the first thing the Lord begins to do is that he begins to use you to win over territories. So the first thing that priesthood intelligence achieves for us is to secure territories back to God. Territories back to God is to win borders, places, and civilizations back to God. Our brother was talking, he said, BSU does not need too many altars. He needs one functional altar. It means there are many prophets in BSU, but there are no priests. There are many apostles on this campus, but there are no priests. Because the spirits that are keeping the gate, they don't understand title. What they understand is power. The powers that can shake and move the hand of the heavens. And only altar, men of altar, has such power. There are many cities that will fight you at different level of your work. There is what we call in the spirit Egypt. Egypt is the system of the world. You may be a deacon in church, you may be a millionaire, but you'll be a slave to Egypt. Egypt will make sure you are not important in the kingdom. Egypt will keep you outside of the spirit perpetually. So your philosophies, your ideologies will be based on the wisdom of this world. Everything that motivates your action is based on the wisdom of this world. It's called Egypt. And in Egypt there are pharaohs. They will make you a slave and you will live to bring royalty back to the devil. Everything you labor for will be to advance darkness. You are in Egypt. It is by priesthood that Egypt is conquered. The first thing priesthood intelligence does is that it gives you the strategy to destroy the powers of spiritual cities. And the first thing you destroy is the system of the world. You can come and decide that your life will be lived perpetually from the womb of the presence. The powers of the world system can no longer hold you back. Is the intelligence of priesthood. That's where the rod becomes relevant. The rod in our context currently is the spirit of prophecy. God tells you what you should say per time to destroy certain powers over your life that wants to keep you perpetually in sin. It is the rod of the priest. And it is in the chest, in the holy of holies. So a man who is not in the presence cannot wield the rod. Did you remember the Bible said something? He said, if we walk in the spirit. You know, when you begin to operate by the rod, then the blood begins to speak. It's a partnership between the rod and the blood. You see, most people operate, they are talking things, but they are not in the presence. That's why they don't have results. You come, you say, you are this, you are that. My brother, it doesn't work there. The first thing that happens is, where are you talking from? They will check where you are standing. If you are not in the presence, you are wasting your time. If you are not in the spirit, you are wasting your time. That's why the first thing that happens is to bring you to the presence. And when you come to the presence, then you can wield the powers of priesthood. When you use the rod, the blood begins to speak. That was what happened in Egypt. As Moses wielded the rod, the blood was at work. The rod is the rhema word, is the prophetic word that the Holy Ghost puts in your mouth. Because at this point, you can have partnership with Him. You have traveled to a level where you know His breath. You know the feelings, you know the desires of the Holy Ghost. So He tells you what you say by time, when to say it, how to say it. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you say, rise up. And then you stand up, you say, go out. And then you go out, you say, speak to the powers of the north. Speak over the powers that are coming from your ancestry. You know, hey, I know a lot of people quoting you redemptive realities. They are quoting it, they are living in immorality. Because redemptive reality works in the spirit. If you can't enter the spirit, it's a waste. You are a talker. You will talk it and continue to live in secret sin. A man who has not entered the presence cannot walk in the reality of the finished works. The Holy Ghost will teach you how to enforce it. When those words begin to flow through you by the spirit, then the blood begins to walk. That's why I say, if we walk in the spirit as He is in the spirit, then the blood cleanses us from all sins. They are spirit-based reality. So by priesthood, when you come to the presence, then the word of God comes alive on your lips. Many people are quoting dead letters. When they have a challenge, they think which scripture is suitable, and then they are quoting the suitable scripture. You don't think the scripture. The scripture flow out of you by the Holy Ghost. And only men of the presence have rhema. It's called the rhema word. That's the sword, the rod that you use to fight the word system. Those are the things that will break the powers of Egypt from your life. A lot of people don't know why they keep walking and falling. They keep walking and falling. Every day they are asking, what do we do? You don't have the rod of priesthood. You have not stayed in the presence enough for the Holy Ghost to commit with you the power to challenge spiritual cities. When you are walking, some of you discover things never work. You have made a degree, you have made a master's degree, you have gotten your PhD, but nothing is happening. What is the problem? You go from one deliverance service to the other. Deliverance will not help you. It will set you up. It's discipleship that saves men. The Bible said when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, he moves about in dry places, finding where to stay. If he doesn't find any, he returns to where it was casted from. If it is clean, kept and garnished, he returns with seven more wicked demons. That's why people go for deliverance in 1 month. And in 7 months, they need much more deliverance. They've not yielded to the protocol. There is something we call Jericho. It will stand and block you from the path of progress. So all your labors will count for nothing. Everything you do will count for nothing. But by priesthood intelligence, the Holy Ghost will bring you to a point and He will give you instructions. He said, blow the trumpet when you have gone around Jericho 7 times and Jericho will sink. That is when you can start pure water business and become a millionaire. Because God doesn't need you to do the best business in this world to prosper you. When spirits want to make men, they just tell them, put your hand to something. When you begin to do what you are doing, He will bless the works of your hand. But if Jericho resists you, you will discover that anointing will not work. The greatest of men, you will use the trumpet of the priest. Is called the spirit of prophecy. A lot of people, they are talking scriptures, but they are not having result. And they will not ask themselves, what is wrong? You graduated from school, this is 10 years, you don't know what you need to do. And you say it's coincidence. By the time this your coincidence finish, you will be a gray-headed man. Maybe it's at 90 years that coincidence will finish. It's called the system of Jericho. It will resist your progress. You were growing up with all the ladies. You are the most attractive. You are the one everybody talks to. But now you are 33. You are still not yet married. There's no relationship. You say it's coincidence. We will check back when you are 40 years. People don't commit their lives to God. And they play with their destiny. Thinking that things will change. Things don't change. We make things change. Nothing changes by chance. Because the spirit realm will not allow it. You enforce the change you want to see. It is called the intelligence of priesthood. Whereby the spirit of prophecy, you cause the stumbling blocks to sink. And then the gate of prosperity opens to you. there's a system called Babylon. Babylon will come and carry you from your promised land and take you away. Did you read that Jacob was in the promised land, but he heard that there was prosperity in Egypt and he wanted to depart to Egypt? He says, stay still in Gerar. Many people have been manipulated out of the place God has kept them. It's called the intelligence of Babylon. It takes you away from where God wants to keep you. You are in Makurdi, then they say, oh boy, things they happen for Lagos. Why are you there in Makurdi? Wait till they do for Makurdi. Why you go waste yourself? See the kind of talent where you get. It's called Babylon. If you step out of the region of your allocation, all your provision will no longer be attached to you. You will go to Lagos and quote scriptures. You will quote it until you get back to where God has sent you. And sometimes you will return in the belly of a whale. If God shows mercy, you will return where? In the belly of a whale. See, we are priests. We don't pursue luck. We don't pursue news. We don't go to where it's happening. We go to where the voice of God commands. Don't let anything take you away from where God has planted you. Stay there. It is called Babylon. If Babylon takes you away, the only thing that will return you back is fasting and prayer. Did you remember that Daniel fasted and prayed for 21 days? There are certain prayers that are not necessary. But if you find yourself in Babylon, then you are sentenced to eternal fasting and prayer. And if God shows mercy, what will happen? You will be returned in the belly of a whale.
Hello, Elohim, Adonai, Elohim, we worship you most high. Kadosh, Kadosh, Elohim, Adonai, Elohim, we worship you most high. Kadosh, 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 Elohim, Elohim, Elohim.
This is why we cleave to the Holy Ghost. We cannot do without Him. I was reading the Bible and I would say, the Spirit, and the Spirit. At a point, I became angry. I said, is it that in this kingdom we cannot do anything apart from the Spirit again? And I heard from within me, yes. Everything that is done in the scripture that seems to be mighty or supernatural, you hear, and the Spirit. And the, I say, Abba, okay, can't I breathe in this kingdom again? I heard from within me, yes, He is the governor of the spirit realm. See, that's why we pray as if there is no future. Because if God doesn't speak or carry you, you are useless. And the Spirit, and the Spirit, and the Spirit. So early in the morning, Jesus is praying. At midnight, Jesus is praying. In the middle of a crusade, Jesus will depart and go and pray. For God's sake, they say the people, the multitude are waiting for you. He will follow back door, go to the mountain. Why? Because, and the Spirit, and the Spirit. They know how to survive. See, in this kingdom, you have authority in the name of Jesus. But authority has a radar. There's a space, there's a radar that your authority operates by time. Stand up now, go and say, this person in Lagos, this thing that is happening, I bind it. You will pray like that for 4 years, nothing will happen. Because your radar have not covered it. It's called spiritual surveillance. It's an intelligence of priesthood. The reason sometimes men stay in the presence for long is so that their radar can become wider. It's like a magnetic pole, a magnetic effect. As you stay there, the thing expands. It widens. You know why many pastors manipulate people? Because their radar cannot cover them. So they use tools of psychology. They use wisdom and strategy to enslave people. If you want to have authority over people, expand your radar in the spirit. People will be on their own. They will run and say, sir, we want to serve you. The Bible says your sons and your daughters, they will come from afar. It says strangers will stand to build thy walls. By what means? Radar. He said Epaphras, who is also one of you, a born servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He's called Radar. The guy has authority over the church in Colossus, because by prayer he has brought them under his ambience. Paul said, my little children, Galatians 6:9, of whom I travail again in birth, in prayer, until Christ be formed in you. So he had authority over the Galatian church. See the way Paul wrote to the church in Galatia. He was using maximum apostolic authority. But the church in Rome, he didn't use so much authority, because he didn't bet the church in Rome. He betted the church in Galatia. He advised the church in Rome. He gave instructions to the church in Rome. But the church in Galatia, he commanded them. Those ones, he gave birth to them. They are his children in the spirit. So he has authority over them. They understand how these things work. You want to pray and determine the destiny of people in your family that your radar have not covered. You are joking. The demons will fight over their lives. Did you not read about the body of Moses? There was a battle and a contention. Demons will fight over the destiny and the health of your father unless he comes under your radar. It's called surveillance. Why do you think God wanted to destroy Sodom? He had to come and pass through Mamre to talk to Abraham. By prayer, Abraham kept Lot perpetually under his ambience. That was why when the kings came and destroyed Sodom, the Bible said he took 318 trained servants of his own household. He went after them because Lot was under his radar. Nothing happens to Lot until the priest Abraham gives permission. So even the God of heaven respected the protocol, because it's a function of priesthood intelligence. He came, he wanted to destroy Sodom. He had to come through Abraham. His priesthood intelligence. Everything you want to preserve, you must put them under your spiritual radar. See, that's why prayer, we don't pray enough. We don't pray enough. People are doing ministry, they are doing gimmicks. You can manipulate a few people per time, but influence is born in the spirit. Influence is born in the spirit. He said to Joshua, he said, this day will I begin to magnify you before the Israelites. The guy did not, because they didn't respect him, because he was composing himself and wasn't talking to them. It is a spiritual commodity. He said, this day will I begin to magnify you. It's a spiritual reality. It's called spiritual surveillance. You build your atmosphere in the spirit until it can bring everything that pertains to you under that ambience. Even the devil knows he has no right to touch them. Before anything happens to anybody in your family, God will tell you. And if you stand and speak, heaven will back it up, because they are under your radar. It's a ministry of the watchman. Even in the angelic realm, they are called the watchers of heaven. Those ones are the ones that make sure the will of God happens in a place and in a territory. They bet it in the spirit. Don't just wake up and say, I have authority in Christ and talk things. Your father will die. Few years ago, my brother died. I stood up, I spoke every tongue I knew. I commanded things I had no understanding. Because when the principalities fight, they fight based on legalities. The fight based on legalities. I mobilized people to pray. It was a waste of time. I didn't bet him in the spirit. He had not come under my radar. If he was under my radar before he was attacked, I would have known and I would have averted it. But I didn't know the intelligence of priesthood. You think prayer is all about, Father, give us our daily bread. In this life, we must prosper. We are supposed to prosper. Prosperity is our right. You don't know the higher matters. The lives of people depend on you. Nations depend on you. God will tell you, you are an apostle to the nations. You will not go to one until you bet those nations in prayer. Men like Lester Sumrall. Corey Blake told the story when he leaved the team. Every morning, 5:30, He comes, a big room, it is completely dark, and then there is a bright light to the center of the room, and that's the map of the world. And then he will walk. He say, I take US for Jesus. I take Congo for Jesus. I take Nigeria for Jesus. And he's doing it for years. You don't know why they enter nations and he opens to them. You think it's luck and chance. It is priesthood intelligence. Before you enter that territory, bet it in the spirit. It's a system of spiritual surveillance. Only priests understand it. But a man who have not even followed the Holy Ghost enough to come to the presence, he doesn't have the resilience and the tenacity to stand. Elijah did not say, I sit in the presence. He said, before God, whom I stand, is a kingdom term. For people who exercise dominion from a place of authority. What has been happening in your family that you are running to prophets? You don't know you are the priest over that family. The day God told me you are the priest over your family, I came and I discharged 3 of my sisters to their husband's houses. 1, 34, 2, 32, no husband, beautiful queens. I'm the ugliest person in my family. These ladies, in the days where they shined, they were slave queens. But when they needed to get married, there was a cobweb on their lives. Nobody, they just come and say, they bring one silly excuse and their relationship have ended. Eh? And then you say it's coincidence. God say you are the priest. See, your knee will dig deep. Your knee will dig deep until it creates a hole on your altar. Kadosh, 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 Elohim, Yahweh, Elohim, be worthy. Most of the things we struggle with praying for long is because we didn't bet them in the spirit. When you bet it, you only speak and it will come to pass. I know the laws of faith and we engage all of them, but there's an intelligence that is deeper. You want the destiny of your brothers to be preserved, you will bet it in prayer. Some of us are on this microphone today because my mother betted it. When I was growing as a young man, I had tendencies. You couldn't tame this guy. See, my mind is a fortress of inspiration. I want to do something all the time. We were running here and there. Those days we will rise up in school, and then when I enter the club, I will hear a voice from the wall. It will say, the wages of sin is death. Then all my desires will die. I will become afraid. My friends didn't know what was happening. The prayers and the incense that rose to heaven were basis for covenants that were caught concerning my destiny. I couldn't miss it. I was gathered to this path because a woman buried herself on an altar. That's why things can happen to some of us. Prices were paid. Did you not read about Jacob? The guy was full of flesh. He was going, learning, trying to survive. But there was an altar that gathered him back to God. It was on that altar the angel fought him until he broke his thigh bone. The angel had authority over him because their destinies have been covenanted on altars. So they don't come to find out, do you want to serve God anymore? No, you have no choice. Because Levi paid tithe from the womb of Abraham. The Bible says the sons of Levi, they paid tithe from the womb of Abraham. On the altar, their destinies were already bargained. So when the spirit come, he can break his thigh bone. You can't fight it. Those things have been proclaimed concerning you. He leaned on his staff and then he said, I will serve you. I will serve you. And he said, as a prince, thou hast power with God. This path you are following, it was covenanted by your fathers. And the altar that you just touched now is the witness and the memorial that you have no choice in time. I will pray my children into the will of God. They will not have a choice in time. Before they come here, their ordinations will be written on their foreheads. They can't make a choice outside of God. They will be born in the womb of the Spirit. The mistake he made was to travel through Bethel. When he touched the altar, the incense began to rise again. It began to rise because altars are eternal memorials. Their tongue never go down. It's a place where spirits dwell. And the covenants that are enacted on those altars, they are for eternity. What are you doing about your blood, your brothers and your territory? You don't understand priesthood. You will not conquer nations by anointings. When you enter the nations, the anointing will work, but it's by priesthood that the doors of nations open. We are talkers. We don't understand how these men live their lives. Kadosh, Kadosh, Elohim, Yah, Elohim, we worship you, Most High. Some of you, the Holy Ghost is troubling you every night. Pray, pray, pray. You don't know what is happening. Where you will be in the next 10 years, if you don't bet it now, you will see it, but you will not walk in its fullness. You don't know why. When he say pray, pray. Benihim went for a crusade. He was not prepared. And then he saw the move of God. And he told the Holy Ghost why. The Holy Ghost said, that's why I told you to pray many years ago. This thing you are seeing today, we're captured in it. There were times when some of us were locked in the room. For months we couldn't go out, fasting and prayer. We were studying and praying, studying and praying. What is happening in my life? It took less than 3 months. I was in 17 nations. How do you prepare for that? The Holy Ghost knew that now I will not be able to pay enough prayer, quota, to walk in it. So there were days and years that were taken from me. There were years that I had to fast all through the year. There were years where every month I went on 21 days fast. There were times where for 8 months I would be indoors throughout. I only stepped out in the evening to eat and come back. The Holy Ghost saw today. My friend Obe will always say, boy, we'll just lie down in the house here, just, and the next thing, you stand up and we'll go for meeting and the fire of God is everywhere. The Holy Ghost saw that there will be days when I will not have the time to prepare for meetings. That's why he made me pray those prayers many years before now. It's an intelligence of priesthood. You build your radar. You build it. You build it consciously. Nations come under it. Families come under it. And then you make decrees and things move. And people don't understand. They say you are a man of faith. Go and ask Bishop Oyedepo how long he prays. Since the ministry started today, he maintains 2 days of fasting per week. And this is a man that works for 18 hours every day. You hear the scriptures, they quote, you quote it. You will quote until you become a quoter. Elohim, we worship you, Most High. That's what we call priesthood legislation. See, there are many things that are bargained in the courts of heaven. There are many things that don't work on the strength of declaration. You must rise through your altar as a vent into the spirit, and then you will stand and negotiate over it. Those intelligence don't work on the frequency of anointing. They work on the strength of covenants and ordinances. Abraham stood and he said, what if you find 50 righteous men? He said, if I find 50 righteous men, I will not destroy the city. That's legislation. That's when by priesthood you come and then you begin to show God the things that this person have done. On the strength of this, on the strength of this, let this happen, let this happen. Those ones are not for anointed men, they are for priests. He said, told Hezekiah, he said, 2 Kings 20, verse 1 to 4. He said, put your house together, you shall die. And the guy went and cleaved himself on the bed and faced the wall. He said, I served you with a perfect heart. It was by me that all the altars of idol were destroyed. Why should I die? Men that negotiate with the heavens are priests. When God speaks, they say, Kai. Moses stood and said, if you will not forgive them, then delete my name from your book. Are you okay? The book of life. He said, if you will not, then delete my name. That's a man negotiating for a nation. God wants to wipe off a nation, and another man is equating himself to that nation. And on the strength of his intercession, the nation was preserved. That means at that time, only Moses had more stature than the whole Israel put together. It's priesthood legislation. the whole Israel. How about the covenant you made to Abraham? What becomes of it? He is called the sovereign one. There's a place where he's superior to his laws. You know, people don't know. Hey, you don't know the powers of sovereignty. In sovereignty, God can come and destroy the whole world. He will still be just. Because he works from a position beyond the law. He will not break the law, but he will transcend the law. That's the law of lift, working against gravity. Gravity will still be in motion, but you will go up. That's the law of aerodynamics. You don't need to break the law of gravity. But when you hit a certain level of acceleration and you lift, the plane will fly. Gravity is still in place. You didn't break it, but you brought a law that is superior to gravity. Sovereignty is superior to the laws of God. So God can invoke sovereignty at any time and he will still be just. People come and say, God can't do this because of law. You don't know who is God. You don't know the meaning of God yet. It's the powers of sovereignty. How about the covenant you had with Abraham? That you will raise the people through these descendants. He wanted to wipe the whole Israel out. But a priest showed up and said, no. It's called legislation. He said, because of this thing you have said, because of this thing you have said, you cannot do this thing. That's intelligence. God comes and says, he will do this. You say, you said this, you said this, you said this. Intelligence. You grow in understanding in the spirit until you can move the hand of God. It's priesthood legislation. And if you are not skilled in it, a lot of things will go wrong in your life and in your family. See, sometimes the reason we stay with God is not because we have a need. We are learning the ways of spirits. You just go and stay there. You are done with your tongue for 5 hours, but you just lie down there. You are waiting to be taught. Because there is an invisible finger that comes with flames of fire and writes the covenants on the wall. Those are men who are wiser than mortals. They are taught by spirit. So they show up, things go wrong, then they begin to talk. They begin to reveal the mind of God. I told you yesterday, how was Daniel able to decode the writing on the wall? He was not even there when it was written. But when they called him, he came from the cave. And then he stood like this. Instead of him to interpret the handwriting, he began to blame the king. He wanted to educate him first. He said, the great God gave your father a mighty nation and a mighty kingdom. And you inherited this kingdom. God did this. Instead of you to praise him, you now raise praises for the God of iron that has no life in them. He said, behold, this is what the writing means. When you'll be thinking, Lord, what do I say now? I'm going to write this exam. What do I say? Oh, Lord, help me. You don't know priesthood. When you stay there for long, then you become a decipherer. A decoder of mysteries. Say mene mene. They couldn't even read it, let alone interpret. What you can't read, how do you interpret? He said, this is the writing that is on the wall. I told you that hand came from where he lives. If somebody comes from your village and speak a language, people may be lost, not you, because that writing came from your place of dwelling. The hand that they saw, he knows where the hand came from. That's where he lives. So the writing is a language where he dwells. He said, mene, mene. Take care of our sin. And then he began to explain. And what a long explanation compared to a short writing. That means the kingdom where he comes from, you don't judge the veracity of the utterance by the length of the writing. Because the utterance, the writing is an impregnated writing. You come, you say, la ku sekavina akuata. Somebody think you are speaking in tongue. No, you are not speaking in tongue. You are judging evil in the land. So all of you are in the same prayer meeting, but you have ascended. And when you ascended, you saw a spirit that was affecting the family. So you are not speaking in tongues at that time. You are not praying, you are judging. Your tongue changes, your vocabulary changes, the energy changes. You say, Kakuria kisusa hashti, mama ni kasko mirahania, huuli kasusu, hamata. What you have just done, you have liberated the family in that prayer meeting. They may not even know until they go to heaven. But you have legislated because of where you are standing in the heights of the heavens. It's called priesthood intelligence. You are traveling and then you come to a place, you just lift your hand and you sense something. And then you begin to talk in tongues. You people don't know what is happening. Maybe 50 years ago they buried the virgin there, and that's why the fortune of the people in that land cannot go forward. But when you passed, you interfaced with that energy. You sense the negative energy rising, so you are shutting down the tongue of that altar. It's called priesthood intelligence. Legislators in the spirit are men of the presence. You go to visit your sister, and when you enter, you lost your peace. What's happening? And then you begin to move around the house. You begin to move around the house, and then you came to a spot and you released tongues. You left 2 weeks later. They told you armed robbers came here, but before they broke into the door, the police came. You didn't know that what you were doing, you were ransoming their lives. It's called priesthood intelligence. It's the way of legislation, but very few find it because they don't stay in the presence long enough. They are too distracted to do business in deep waters.
Kadosh, Kadosh, Elohim, Adonai, Elohim, we worship you most high. Kadosh, Kadosh,
Kadosh, Kadosh, Elohim,
you know, these things will be happening with you. You are frustrated. You don't know what God is using you to achieve. You are wondering, why am I not yet flowing in word of knowledge? Why am I not yet speaking? Why are doors not yet opening? Do you know what you are doing? Next time you want to lament, check with heaven and find out, Lord, what are you doing with me? That's when God will tell you that those tongues you are speaking, it is the fuel that I'm giving to the evangelists that are in Brazil. So there's no reward for those evangelists apart from you. That's why in this kingdom we are at rest. It's what the Holy Ghost is doing part-time that we do. And if the Holy Ghost says, stay in Wurukum for 10 years, every reward you need is there. You don't need to be in 10 nations. Stay in Wurukum. From Wurukum, you will shake the world. And men may not know. But when the annals of immortality are open, then suddenly you will be crowned as a prince. They wonder, what did this guy do? All the incense that went to heaven that formed the basis for God's invasion on earth to have a legal stand. This was the man that made it happen. Men didn't know him to praise him, but the angels were clapping for him all the time.
Elohim, we worship you.
Do you see why you cannot define success in time? That's why when I sit with pastors, I encourage them, because that's the level they are operating from. You see why you can't define success in time? What will you tell John the Baptist? All the principles of prosperity, he defied it. He was the son of a priest. He was supposed to walk in the order of the priesthood of Abia. But an operation came upon him and carried him into the wilderness. You say, are you mad? Are you not okay? What about the education? Man, in this life, you can't serve God unless you prosper. You don't know his ordination. Go to heaven first and find out what was his assignment. There's no voice of any prophet for 400 years. Israel was in darkness. This man was going to herald the coming of the Messiah. His greatness is not tied to his resources. When Jesus came, he said he was a burning and a shining light, and we were willing to stay under his light for a season. And Jesus went further. He said, of all the men born of women, there is none greater than John. That's the man you are condemning, that he's not prospering, he's not wise. Why will you go and live in the forest dressing in camel skin? You don't understand the powers of ordination. When next you want to counsel a man, find out what God is doing on his inside first. Don't be quick to talk, because your counsel may be a counsel against God. If you don't have discernment of spirit and the spirit of word of wisdom, don't be quick to alter certain things. Don't make absolute statements about people's destiny. Find out what God is doing. The reason that guy cannot leave that city, you don't know what is happening until your eyes are open to understand legislation. Don't be quick to put yourself under tension because you heard a message. Be consistent with the movements of the inner life. Know what God is doing within you part time and work with it. Only counsels that are consistent with what is happening from within that are accurate. Every other thing they are telling you is a noise, is a distraction. I tell you, as a man that have gained understanding. You will not be relevant. It's priesthood intelligence. That's what we call priorities in priesthood. Where the priest comes and tells and begins to weigh things on the strength of the shekels of the sanctuary. He will look at you and say, the first 5 years of your life committed to prayer. You say, but I have an appointment. No, it's called priorities. Committed to prayer. That's what heaven is saying. And if you don't commit it, you may not be relevant. He said, committed to prayer. And then you say, why? I'm supposed to be in Lagos. They say I should come to Canada. Committed to prayer. In Leviticus chapter 27, from verse 1 to 7, the Bible began to introduce us to how the immortals value men. He said, men that are 5 years old, 20 years old to 60 years old, he said, their value shall be worth 50 shekels of the sanctuary. Women of that age, their value shall be worth 30 shekels of the sanctuary. That is on the strength of the quality of service they can provide. Because in those days, service was based on strength. So God values men not based on who they are, but based on the kind of service they can render. Because the man between 20 years and 60 years can render the best kind of service. He said from 5 years to 20 years, his value shall be 15 shekels. For a lady shall be 10 shekels. He said from 1 year to 5 years, his value shall be 5 shekels for a male. And for a female, his value shall be 3 shekels. What is the basis of this stratification? It was based on service. That means in heaven, men are rated based on service. It is an intelligence that the priest has. So when he's talking to you and counseling you, he's advising you based on what he's sensing from eternity. Because when God wants to judge, it's the quality of service you render that will determine who you are with God. It is the shekel, the system of the shekels. Many don't know. I don't talk against prosperity and prospering. All of us will prosper in this life. But prosperity cannot be at the expense of ordination. If God tells me today, go to Maiduguri, it's called priorities. It doesn't matter if I live there for the next 5 years only and die. In eternity, I will be relevant. But if I step out of ordination, I may live for 100 years. There is no life in my days. And I may amount to nothing. It's called the shekels of the sanctuary. That's how these men saw life. That's how they reasoned life. They didn't reason life from advantage. They reasoned life based on the value systems of heaven. Abraham was the first son of his father. He was supposed to enter into the fullness of his father's riches. But God said, leave your nation. Leave your kindred, leave your family, and come to the nation I will show you. And he jeopardized his life and the life of his sons. You will look at him in his days and you will say you are a foolish man. But when you check back many years later, Abraham became the father of faith. Abraham became the friend of God. And Abraham became the father of many nations because he understood priorities. I'm not talking about zeal without knowledge. It will destroy you. I'm talking about people that understand what God is saying on their inside and they are willing to align with it. That's when you sacrifice your ambition. But Jesus said, no man that follows me in this world will lack. He said, not in this life or in the life to come. Because it's not unjust to forget your labor of love. And he has not called the children of Israel to seek him in vain. In fact, Abraham was rich in gold, in cattle, and he said the Lord blessed him in all things. But he understood priorities first. A point came when God told him, take Isaac. And God reminded him, Isaac, thy only son. And God still added, whom thou lovest. In case you forget that he's your only son, let me remind you. And in case you want to do it quick, I want to still hurt you and remind you that you love Isaac. He said, and sacrifice him. There has never been heard anywhere that they sacrifice human beings to spirit. It was not a logical thing to think or to do. But the man said, abide here. Genesis 22 verse 5. Why we go up to worship. You don't know why these men are so big in the eyes of God. You come, you say, all of us, God love all of us. Who told you that? God love all of us, but our value is based on our service. Elohim, we worship you most high. Kadosh, 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 Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. read the scriptures to see the people that God has value for. It had nothing to do with earthly possession. It had everything to do with commitments to His Spirit. When you want to check the measure of your life, evaluate it based on your commitments to God. A man without commitment to God is like a paper that the wind can blow away at any time. What gives you weight in the Spirit is your commitment. When you see men that have stature, they move the hand of God. It's not a function of just faith. They have weight in the Spirit. Their commitment speaks in heaven. Their sacrifices speak in heaven. He said the sacrifice of Abel, because of his sacrifice, he said even his blood is crying to heaven. His blood is a weight in the Spirit. Those hours that others were sleeping and you obeyed the Holy Ghost to stand and pray, even though you would have loved to sleep, it is recorded in heaven. It's called priorities. Those times when your mate went ahead and it looked as if you are foolish and you were obeying God is recorded in heaven. I am not preaching the doctrine of poverty. I'm teaching you how to be relevant in the kingdom. Never move against the movement of God in your spirit. There is no doctrine that is intelligent and can stand against the counsel of God. Never move against what God is doing in your spirit. Anybody that tells you that is teaching you how to be small. Kadosh, Kadosh, Elohim, Adonai, Elohim, we worship you, Most High. Kadosh, Kadosh. There's an intelligence in priesthood that we call the systems of ransom. It gives priests authority to bring salvation and liberty to people and to territory. It's called the system of ransom. It works on bodies. Anybody that is intelligent in priesthood, one of the things he doesn't joke with are bodies. Let me advise you quickly before I explain this thing. Never get to a point where you think somebody is praying for you. They may mention your name in prayer, but they are not praying for you. Because the prayers that move the hand of God, they are prayed on the strength of burdens. Very few people have burden for you. I heard Pastor Chris say something. He said he doesn't depend on anybody to pray for him when he's going for his crusade. He prays his prayers himself. See, that's why God put burdens in the heart of people, because mankind is selfish. A man who doesn't have burden for you can't pray for you. He may mention you in prayer. And that's why you shouldn't take the risk. Stand in prayer and pray your destiny to beg him. Anybody who will amount to much in this kingdom is a man that attends to burdens. Go and check the life of the patriarchs. What led them to the place of their encounters were the burdens they paid attention to. For Moses, he had a burden to deliver Israel. And he pursued that burden until he found himself in Horeb, the mountain of God. That was when the word of the Lord came to him. If you don't attend to burdens, you are not traveling in the right direction. Because burdens are momentary distress that the Holy Ghost puts in your spirit to cause you to awaken to an emphasis that is consistent with your destiny. If you don't have burdens, you are beginning to die. If you are healthy in the spirit, once and again, the Lord will furnish you with burdens. Those burdens, first of all, train you to use your hand in warfare. He said, the Lord teaches my hand to fight and my fingers to war. It is men that know the technology of burdens that gain mastery in warfare. The body may be there for 20 days. Keep praying until it dissipates. Many times God will not tell you what it means, but it has refined you and it has equipped you in the way of destiny. There are times when the Holy Ghost may be benevolent to tell you, whether he tells you or not, it doesn't count. Know that burdens are the things that carry you to the path of destiny, and you will attend to it meticulously. Daniel had burden for the deliverance of the people of Israel. He was in captivity. He said he will not defy himself with the king's meat. And you didn't know what was driving him. They were in captivity for 70 years. And the Bible said in Daniel 9 verse 2, he said, and Daniel understood by books the writings of Jeremiah the prophet. That means he prayed until it was not working. He began to search every document of prophecy that spoke about the destiny of Israel. So everything that was pursuing him and informing his actions in Babylon were the burdens he carried in his spirit. And a point came when he became a mighty prophet in that land. The Bible said even the king could not do without him. At a point, he said he thought to make him the president over the whole realm. All Daniel was doing in Babylon was to attend to the burden in his heart. When would Israel be saved? He prayed, he read books, he checked everywhere. Until a point came when he got it. And that day he entered into an encounter that few men in this world walked in. Men who see and interact with archangels and discuss the destiny of territories. But he got there by burdens. A point came when Daniel could enter the courts of heaven and he saw the way it was arrayed. He said he saw angels, millions, thousands upon thousands, aligning on the altar. And the point came when they saw one whose hair was white as wool. And he said, that is the Ancient of Days. How did he come to that point? He knew how to serve his burdens. You will pray your burdens until one day you open your eyes and you discover you are standing in the throne room. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, a man of burdens. Moses carried burden until he went to the backside of the desert, even unto Horeb, the mountain of God, and he saw a bush burning that was not consumed. You want to travel into encounters, you must be a man of burdens. Encounters are orchestrated by burdens. Burdens are the precursors of encounters. If you don't know how to service your burdens, you may never come to a point where you have any tangible encounter in life. A lot of people know, they know that God wants us to do this. God wants us to do this. Yes, God wants to send me to nations. God wants me to pray for the sick. God, we will always be in the realm of assumptions and speculations and presuppositions. What will take you to clarity are encounters. But you cannot find the gate of encounter until you service those burdens consistently. Those burdens keep drawing you to where your encounter is. It keeps drawing you. And the day will come when you will stand face to face with the monarch of Zion. It's not just prayer. Prayer is good. It exercises your spirit. But there are prayers that work. One of them is called praying burdens. You may leave a prayer meeting. You have prayed for 10 hours. And then you went. You wanted to sleep. And then you lost your peace. If you want to amount to much in God, that's the real time to pray. The one you did for 10 hours was to exercise your spirit. This one now is about destiny.
Elohim, Adonai, Elohim, we worship you most high.
Peter was hungry, terribly hungry. He hurried them to cook. They were not cooking quick, so he went to the upper room. And suddenly he saw a vision. And a vase descended from heaven. He saw unclean animals mingling with clean animals. And he heard, kill and eat. Say, no. On the strength of that thing that happened that he didn't understand, he forgot about hunger. He began to pray until meaning was furnished. And he said, there are certain men who are coming to you, follow them. The church, the Gentile, would not have become part of the commonwealth of Israel. A hungry man who wanted to die suddenly saw a vision and he lost his peace. Hunger vanished. Those are men. Those are sons. Those are priests. The Bible says, woe unto you, O land, whom princes are children, and whom nobles eat for drunkenness and not for strength. He said, but blessed is the land, whose prince is of the nobles, and who eat for strength and not for drunkenness. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 16 and 7. You can give your body, your hunger away because there's a body.
You woke up that morning, there was hunger, you wanted to die, but suddenly you lost your peace. You wanted to drink water and it was like a sin. You know that guy. There is a whisper in heaven. You enter your room and you lock the door. What is God saying? You begin to search. It's called priesthood intelligence. You wanted to go out and then you felt as if it was a sin. Lord, what are you saying? And then you begin to search. You may be in that room for 3 days. That's how men grow. They find burdens and they attend to them. They attend to burdens until the burden transforms them and they enter into the womb of encounter. They begin to live from there. Hope you know Moses needed to serve his burden until he had his first encounter. From that time, if he wanted to find God, he doesn't need to pray. He knew where to go. And he would go and tell him, Pharaoh said, I will not let your people go. He said, go back and tell him this. The man who for 40 years was finding the mind of God and was trading on the economy of body, now he can meet God every day. Body have taught him the way to the spirit. Now the spirit realm is like a corridor that he runs on every day, anytime, at will. I heard Peter Tan said something. He said if he wants to go for a meeting, he will break into the spirit realm and talk to Jesus. Hello? I don't understand what you are saying. Talk to who? He has mastered body over time. There was a time God told him to shut down for 10 years. Him and his friend were running on 48 hours tongues and 48 hours meditation. 48 hours tongues, 48 hours meditation. They ran it for 2 years. You pray for 3 months. You say, what is happening? I have prayed. You don't know what you are talking about. You don't know the realm you are engaging. You don't know the realm. If you know the realm you are trying to break into, you will wait. Do you know the realm you are talking about? They prayed like that until one day him and his friend David, they were in the room praying, they heard the sound. The sound was not normal. They went out, they didn't see anything, they came back. They kept praying. They heard the sound, they went again, they didn't see anything, they came back. And the third time when they went out, there was an angel that stood in front of the building. They couldn't see the knee of the angel because the head of the angel was in the heavens. They had broken into a realm where they could interact with an archangel. Instantly, his friend David became a prophet. These guys, they want to travel to Brazil now. They will sit at the airport. And you say, you carry your paper. Carry my paper. They will write everything they will see at the airport at the exact time. And all of them will write different things. They will exchange the paper, put it in the pocket. When they go to the airport, they will carry it and begin to read. It's the same thing they will be seeing. It's not this one. You are in the meeting, you say, I see an angel here. Another person say, the angel is here. I'm not talking about imagining things. The spirit realm has opened because they serve his body. There was a day he stepped out and a thought was coming to his heart. Before the thought got to his heart, the angel that walked with him said, don't think it. The guy moves faster than the speed of thought now. If Peter Tan is teaching about the supernatural, he will tell you to come. And when you stand, he's not giving you word of knowledge. He will begin to describe your spiritual experiences. He will tell you, I'm seeing a dark being standing behind you. Based on the distance between you and the being, it means the thing is not in the future. It happened 2 weeks ago. And he said, what I'm seeing is not a demon. Because of the way I see this being, it means it's a challenge that you encounter. And because of the shape of this thing I'm seeing, this challenge has to do with health. That's a man. These guys are spirits. But they entered by bodies. Many people, God furnishes body in their heart. They don't attend to it. When the body dissipates, then they jump. They are praying for 5 hours. You will not grow. You will not grow. Bodies are the fuels of destiny. When it is furnished, every other thing waits until the body is attended to. It's better to pray bodies consistently than to pray as a spiritual exercise. You will grow. You will grow and in a very accelerated format. Men who understand priesthood, this is their wisdom. Nobody hits their heart and go unattended to. Because the more you fail to attend to body, the lesser you become strong in the spirit. And your hand will never gain mastery. It's a system of the supernatural. Very few know it.
We worship you most high. Kadosh, Kadosh.
Elohim, Adonai, Elohim, we worship you, Most High.
The last thing I'll say tonight before we begin to pray. Honestly, I wanted to fly this evening, but somehow the thing works in me now in a way that I don't understand. Sometimes what I want to do and prepare for when I come, the Holy Ghost will just arrest me. I've tried sometimes to shake, I discover it's a waste, so I don't do it again. Because I don't know who God is talking to my time. And we can be ministering and growing in the flesh. So when I realized it, I don't stress myself anymore. The last thing I want us to look at this evening is what I call the sacrifice of temporary pleasure. These are pokes of the devil from time to time to distort you from the path of spiritual progress. They come either from windows of distraction that you open momentarily, or from interactions you have with people that have the wrong spirit. Once and again, they pop up. If you don't gain mastery on how to tame temporary pleasure, you will destroy many years of labor in minutes. And then you'll find yourself dwelling on one mountain for a long time. Does God forgive? Yes. But sin affects the soul structure. There is a momentum you build in the spirit. If you allow yourself to fall to temporary pleasure, your soul will descend. Even if God forgives you, you will follow the route again, and you will build before you come there. That's why spirits, most times, they wait for you at your Kairos moment. Because at the Kairos moment, they know you are light. You are about to take a flight to another phase, so they bring other alternatives. Many people don't know why it's in December that they fall. They understand forgiveness, but they are not intelligent in priesthood. Because they don't know there is something. They have not studied their spiritual cycle. They don't know that every time, why is this thing always strong in December? They don't pay attention to their spiritual cycle. This demon come, and then they punctuate your work with pleasure. And then you do something for one day, and then it shuts down 24 months of prayer and intercession. Priesthood teaches us that our greatest moments of decision and relevance are not in the chronos moments, they are in the kairos. That time when the attack of the devil becomes so strong, that's when God is doing something, because they have seen the star in the spirit. When Jesus was born, the wise men saw his star and they began coming. That moment, that's when the devil wants to abort what you were building on your altar for long. But you don't allow it. It is called the intelligence of priesthood. You don't know why men grow progressively. The reason men grow progressively is not just because they are consistent. It's because they refuse to yield to temporary pleasures. Because those things are junctions in your path of progress that intends to frustrate your growth protocol. When you fall, God forgives you, but your soul will start again to build. You come, you fall, you go back, you build, and you don't know why this thing is not working. And then you come to tell people, man, to move in power, it will take 5 years. It is not time bound. It is yieldedness bound. It is when your obedience is complete that you avenge disobedience. For one man, it will take 6 months. For another man, it may take 20 years. The doctrine is not time-based. The doctrine is reality-based. Those quick moments that the devil brings, he knows you are strong. He will not attack your fellowship life. He knows you will always be in fellowship. He will not attack your character. He knows by your morality is very strong. But there are those moments when he sneaks in by night and he suggests things. And then you go online, you engage on the chat, and you frustrate what the Holy Ghost is doing in your soul in the past 6 months. When you do these things, you are not yet wise. It is the intelligence of priesthood. It is on this wise that we have decided
to build altars as against tents. Abraham, the Bible said, he built altars, but he pitched tents. Because his destiny and everything he can become, the totality of his possibilities, are predicated on the altars that he built. This is why our prayers is longer than time. Our prayer become an intimacy-based reality. Even when we don't have a word on our lips, we stay in the presence. Because there is a teaching syllabus that is ongoing. When it doesn't look appealing, we still go to pray. Because prayer for us have gone beyond an economy of receiving from God. It has become a walk of life. And only people that have grown into priesthood have this understanding. You don't come to that point, you may not amount to much in God. You will practice all the principles of faith. I heard Bishop Oyedepo said something. When he wanted to get married, the devil came to him and said, "You must fall." The guy is so rugged in his faith that they had to break through the veil of the supernatural and say to him, "You must fall." And he looked at it. He said, "God, strike me with leprosy if I touch this woman." You don't know why they are mighty. When you learn the principle, learn the life. Kadosh, Kadosh, Elohim, Adonai, Elohim, we worship you. Kadosh, Kadosh, tonight, the first thing we are going to do is to build altars. You will not be mighty in this kingdom until you are a man of altars. Go and check the life of the patriarchs. They were men of altars. The Bible said from the days of Enosh, the men began to call upon the name of the Lord. He said Enoch walked with God and was not, because God took him. He said, and Abraham builded an altar to the God that appeared to him. He said Noah erected an altar. They were not patriarchs because they came first. They were patriarchs because they pioneered causes. They were patriarchs because they pioneered dispensations. They were patriarchs because they pioneered spiritual operations. It was in the life of Noah that the righteousness that was imputed was born. He said on the strength of his reverence, he received the righteousness that is of an heir. He became the heir of righteousness. So he pioneered a new work. He pioneered a new order in the spirit. He is not called a patriarch because he came early. He's a patriarch because he pioneered the path that you and I follow. He said, Abel provided a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It was Abel that revealed that sacrifice is the way of interacting with spirit. To receive the approval of the spirit, your life must be run on sacrifice. He pioneered an order. When the mortals looked at them, they wonder, how do mortal men come to this kind of wisdom? Sacrifice was only an economy that was operational in the realm of the immortals. Only God understood what sacrifice meant. Who taught them? They didn't read any doctrine. How did they know these things? So they became well pleasing to God. The life of Abraham mirrored the dimension that by sacrifice a man can become well pleasing to the Lord. Abraham pioneered a new order. It's called the order of obedience. Faith that comes by obedience to God. He said, leave your nation, leave your kindred, leave your family to the land that I will show you. How do men understand? Who taught you that men live and work for spirits? He didn't know where God was leading him. He said he carried his nation, his children, from tent to tent. And he was looking for a city with foundation whose builder and maker was God. Who told you that men should obey spirits? How did you know it? He's not the father of faith because he came early. He's the father of faith because he pioneered that order. They are not patriarchs because it's a title. They pioneer things in God. Moses was the one that revealed that for you to amount to greatness in God, you must reject the pleasures of this world. The Bible said when he was come of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Who told you that you have to let go of your influence in the world before you can serve a prince, a spirit?
What made him relevant in the world of his day? What gave him ranking in the courts of Pharaoh? Was the fact that he was connected to Pharaoh's daughter. Who told you you will break your cord with the world before you can walk with the spirit? It was Moses that pioneered the way of consecration. You break away from the world before you can walk with the spirit. He said he refused the pledges of Egypt, which is for a season, because he saw him that was invincible. They are not patriarchs because it's a title. They are patriarchs because they pioneered spiritual possibilities. That's why their lives in the spirit represent gates and systems. Their lives are gateways and portals. The Bible said, look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bore thee, for I have called him alone and I have blessed him. So there is a dimension in God you can never enter until the lifestyle of Abraham becomes your lifestyle. He is the custodian of that possibility in the spirit. He said the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Why? Because the life of this man is an example. There's a dimension in God you cannot enter until you understand what it means to consecrate. Moses is the gatekeeper of that reality. So a man who begins to consecrate, the spirit of Moses will overtake him. The man suddenly becomes a leader. He leads many nations. You don't know how it happens. There are many pioneers of ministry, but only consecrated men become great. It is an order that Moses pioneered. You can never be mighty until you are a man of consecration. He said, teach them laws, teach them ordinances, teach them status. Moses grew in rank until the Bible called him the first king of Israel. He said he was the king of Jeshurun. The word Jeshurun talks about Israel. Moses was the first king of Israel in the spirit. How did he enter there? By consecration. You want to be mighty in God? You must study the life of the patriarchs. Through altars, they entered into spiritual possibilities that are not written in by pen and paper. They are written in the heart of men that walk with God. People are looking for dimensions and encounter. Did you know how it was pioneered? He said Enoch walked with God and he was not. Men who carry dimensions of the spirit are men that walk with God. Walking with God is not just a faith you profess. Walking with God means you have become like a puppet in his hand. Anything he wants to do, you are the one through which he does it, whether it's reasonable or not. That's why God can tell a prophet to go and marry a prostitute. There's no doctrinal basis for it, but he understands that when a spirit speaks, the only thing you do to be accurate is to obey him. It's an order that Enoch pioneered. That's why they walked in the spirit. A point came, the guy walked and he bore testimony that God will take him. Elijah followed the same pattern of walking with God. Many times, many seasons, many years, he lived in a brook. It's not a comfortable place to live, but he studied Enoch's life. He knows what it means to walk with God. And the point came, he became famous. Obadiah told him, what have I done to deserve this? You want me to go to call the king and then God will carry you to another place? That means his transport system was spirit travel, because he mastered the way of Enoch, the way of consecration. It was not a doctrinal reality, it's life. He saw it in Enoch and he lived it. And him also, like Enoch, he said that God will take him. And he traveled through four nations. He knew the exact location where the whirlwind was coming. It is by intimacy. Enoch pioneered the way of intimacy. That's why they are called patriarchs. They are fathers. They are pathfinders. They are policy creators. They are wielders of spiritual secrets. They are holders of mysteries, watchers of territories, and keepers of gates. They understand how the spirit realm work, because their life is a perpetual devotion to God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You are seated on the throne. Hey! The Bible said Philip, he went to Samaria. He preached Christ there and the city was filled with joy. Taught him the doctrine of righteousness. He saw it in the life of Enoch. He said, Enoch prophesied that in the days of Armageddon, God will return with 10,000 of his saints. That was the same doctrine Elijah was preaching. Elijah propagated righteousness. Philip propagated righteousness, because intimacy is a function of righteousness. Holiness is the business of the courtroom. That's why they travel in the spirit. They knew the order. They could climb to the mountains of God, and the things that you did many years ago, they will go there and undo it. Jacob looked at Reuben. He said, you are as unstable as water, you will not prosper. But another man came and he journeyed in the corridor. And when he came to the mountains of Zion, he said, let Reuben leave. He spoke from a place in the spirit. I have found that place. That's how we undo curses. A witch can stand in the waters and speak. There's a height you get to in Zion, and you will speak and you will nullify what he has uttered. It's a technology of prophet, of priesthood. The intelligence of priesthood. You don't have intimacy. Go and relax, my brother. The kingdom is not for you. You can be a babe in the kingdom. But if you want to move the hand of God, you must become a man of intimacy. Many living for themselves, distractions and appetites. It's called the way of the patriarchs. And only men that understand priesthood walk in it. You pray now. I don't have time.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
How can you be in BSU and you are complaining? He says it's not easy. It's not easy. We are trying. What will you do if you go to a land where ladies dress naked? You are in BSU. They say, hey, it's not easy. God is helping us. How did Daniel survive in Babylon? He was never defied. They live from the presence. We Christians not taking responsibility for destiny. Say, we are time. We are time. What do you mean? Job said, I have covenanted my eyes that I will not look upon the virgins. How did they survive in their days? There's a place, a location in the spirit where they live from. We don't yield to the Holy Ghost to take us there. And then our life become a cliche of reality. We come to masquerade possibilities that are real in the spirit, because we will not yield our vessels. He said, by light I walk through darkness as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacles. They walked by secrets. They caught these things in the realm, because their life was perpetually devoted. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
The fire on the altar may have been going down. It's time to put wood on it. So the fire on the altar must not be put out. The priest must put wood on it every morning. For your fire to be burning, it's your responsibility to keep it burning. I want to pray in tongues now. And ask God to set us on fire. Ask the Lord to set us on fire. You want to talk to God now? This is the time. You can prosper, you can buy cars, you can buy planes. But if you are not popular in the realm of the spirit, your life is a waste. Come on! Shabarata! Arianda Taris Kaparatas! Come on, tell the Lord to set you on fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Now you pray now. And tell the Lord, teach me the secrets of walking in the kingdom. I know a lot of principles. I know a lot of laws. I practice them. But teach me the secrets. He said, unto you it is given the secrets of the kingdom. Can you tell the Lord, open my eyes to see the secrets of the kingdom. The secrets. The fathers try to teach us a lot of things, but there are certain things they can't teach. Those ones are revealed to their spirit. Paul said, when it pleased the Lord to reveal Christ in me. Hallelujah. 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 I don't want us to get so emotional. I want us to receive something tangible from the Lord tonight. Some of you will receive an instruction. I'm about to pray. Some of you will receive an instruction on what you need to do. Some of you will receive an anointing. The Lord will touch you. The Lord will breathe upon you. Whatever it is that He wants to do to quicken you. Some of you, you will have visions, open visions now. It's a time of equipping. And whatever it is God gives you, and you know it's not emotion, you can take it into the world with confidence and audacity. One of the challenges we have now is that we say we have things, but we don't really believe we do. And because there is so much emotions involved in the things we do. Can you just stretch your hands now? I'll pray a very simple prayer, and we allow the Holy Ghost to begin to equip people. I don't want to come into the way of the Spirit tonight. I expected today to be a day of fire, but we don't control these things. Precious Holy Spirit. Precious Holy Spirit. You can stop the keyboard now so that they hear me well. Precious Holy Spirit. Stretch forth your hands now and begin to equip us. Our hearts are open. Our minds are yielded. We are willing now. Let there be a resonance in the Spirit. We begin to furnish us with strength. Let instructions begin to come in our direction. Let your hand begin to touch. Let the wind of the Spirit begin to blow. Touch, Lord. Touch, Holy Ghost. Begin to minister to us. Like a fresh water flowing through the hearts of men. Like a wind blow upon us. Carry us to places in the Spirit where we will see the writings of our destiny. Holy Spirit, this is the time. We align. Touch. Touch us, Lord. Minister, Lord. Minister to us. Just focus on God. Don't try to get emotional. Some of you will receive instructions now. Instructions. Some of you, your eyes will open. You will see. Some of you, the Lord will begin to anoint you. You will feel the oil dripping from your head. Some of you, your hand, you will feel it. You will feel it. Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you. You see, the hand of God is beginning to descend on people. Some of you will begin to have angelic interactions now. You'll find yourself taking motions. The wind will be moving you. The wind of the Spirit. The wind of the Spirit is teaching you the alignment patterns. The alignment patterns. Let the ceremony begin, Lord. Let oil begin to rest on people. Equip them, equip them, equip them. Equip them, equip them. Rods of intercession. Mantles of power. Mantles of power. Eyes that see, ears that hear. Hands that heal. Hands that heal. Hearts that have been waiting upon you, Lord. This is the time to anoint. This is the time to anoint the Holy Ghost. The Lord is anointing intercessors. Men that will receive strength to stand in the place of prayer. Altars coming on fire right now. Precious Spirit of the living God, run through us like a wind. Run through us like a wind. Run through us like a wind. We are the ones with that scepter. Watchers, gatekeepers, preservers of spiritual heritage. Holy Ghost. A fire is about to enter here. God wants to raise fiery evangelists, not talkers, but men with flaming swords of fire to judge evil, to bring souls back to the kingdom, to deal with the afflictions of humankind. And so, precious Spirit of the living God, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, the ones numbered, touch. We are the evangelists, the men of fire. We are the evangelists, the ones whose tongue you are touching, the coals of fire. Their walls will become like arrows piercing through the heart to judge evil, to judge iniquity, to convict men unto righteousness. We are there, Lord. I'm seeing the water boiling. It's bubbling. The water is bubbling. The water is bubbling. And I hear in the spirit that the Lord is raising prophetic intercessors, watchers over territories. You may have beginning, you are beginning to weak and weary. The water is bubbling. It's bubbling like a fountain. It's bubbling like a fountain. It's bubbling like a fountain. It's bubbling. It's bubbling. Prophetic intercessors. Hey, ta 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 ta. Haya. Haleya. Heya. Aya. Heya. Aya. Heya. Aya. The Lord is breaking chains, ancestral patterns. He's raising priests to judge family wickedness. There be family wickedness, family bondage. The Lord is raising priests to judge family altars. A new order of priesthood rises. Men of flames. Men that understand the intelligence of priesthood. Men that can legislate for Zion. And so, Spirit of the living God,
We are the ones that are putting this rod in their hands. We are there, Lord Jesus. Find them, Father. Touch them. 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 Hey, Kaligaske Vela Mataria. Redetene Satela Teat. Taboaske. Shaliga Brask. Blow like a mighty wind. Spirit of victory. Cover us with your wing. Blow, 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 blow like a mighty wind. Spirit of victory. Cover us with your wing. Almighty, Spirit of victory, come out of me. Blow like almighty, Spirit of victory, come out of me. Listen. Listen. There's a young lady here that have been praying for the healing anointing. This person I'm speaking about is untall, dark. I don't want to touch anybody. I've been trusting God in the place of prayer for the healing operation to begin to work in your life. This is the time. There's about to be a visitation. There's about to be a visitation. It's time for equipping. And so, Spirit of the Living God, Spirit of the Living God, we are the ones that have a button for your kingdom. For your kingdom, for your kingdom, for your kingdom. Be sensitive to the Holy Ghost, because most of you, what you'll be receiving predominantly tonight are instructions of destiny. It's not about falling down, brothers and sisters. They are tangible operations and implantations of the Holy Ghost. Even as I speak now, there is somebody that your mouth is on fire. That spirit of utterance is about to rest on somebody. You will speak from the womb of revelation, from the womb of inspiration. It's called the spirit of utterance, communicating the heart of the Father. And if I have spoken by God, let the hand of God touch that one. Let the hand of God touch that one. Equipping, 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 equipping. The spirit of righteousness is enveloping this place now. God will be judging iniquity. Most of you will find yourself weeping. Don't bother. You are not crying. The thought is breaking upon you. The righteousness spirit. See, the Holy Ghost wants us to keep it calm so that it will be ministering to the hearts of people. Sometimes if the intensity is too high, you mistake your emotion for an impartation. Somebody's right hand is about to be set up. The hand will literally begin to burn. It's a healing operation. Father, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, the one that you are putting that healing mantle in his hand, the one you are putting that healing mantle in his hand,
stand on earth, and I bring the enforcement right. Let the impartation begin. Let the impartation begin. Let the impartation begin. Look at that. Look at that. Help him so that he doesn't injure himself. There's another person. Touch your right hand. Burns with a flame. It burns with a flame. It burns with a flame. And here comes the spirit of prophecy. Men that will judge spiritual cities. Men that will speak over nations. And the borders of those dwelling places. We come to the government of God. Let your vocal cords be seized now. And let the spirit of prophecy begin to break out. Let the spirit of prophecy begin to break out. I see women clothed with the mantle of Deborah, speaking over territories, speaking over families, and bringing to pass the counsel of God. And so, Spirit of God, begin to set them on fire. Where are the Deborahs? Where are the Deborahs? Where are the Deborahs? Katataria Katana Tash, a night of impartation. It's an equipping by the Holy Ghost. It's an equipping. There are two people here. Your leg will begin to burn you. You want to remove your shoe. You want to run. God is opening the door of nations. This was a missionary that we carry the fire and the cross to nations of the world. And if I have spoken by the Spirit of God, set their feet on fire, Lord. Set their feet on fire. The wind that carries men to the nations. The wind that carries men to the nations. Let their feet begin to burn. Plant their feet upon burning oil, burning fire. Nations, nations. They're walking by the hand of God. Listen, there's a spirit of intercession that's about to come on a young lady here. It's a spirit. That's not the person I'm talking about. Listen to me. You will bend down now and begin to pray as if you are in labor. It will be strong. It will be so strong. It's you bringing out the womb of the spirit. The chambers of the spirit are about to open for nations to be born. And Spirit of God, dear Spirit of God, drop that weight on that one. Drop the weight. Drop the weight. Drop the weight. Drop the weight. Let that operation begin. Let that operation begin. Hey, ta 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 ta. Kelele kakani. Kala elegadas. Hepa. Hey, hey, hey. Intercessors. After the order of Army Sempe McPherson, women that born nations, they better nations from their womb. Intercessors. You ancient Zion's king, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You roll.
God is about to commission a prophet. I'm not talking about people falling down. This person I'm speaking of now. Now, you will see open vision now. And when we are done with the prayer, we'll find out. The realm of the spirit is about to be open to you. Father, that prophet that you are anointing, that you are showing him how the realm work beyond the motion, beyond cliche. Right now, Lord, I declare, let the veils be lifted from the supernatural so that the eyes of that one can see. And so, Spirit of God, there is the one you are quickening. Let the eyes open now. From the left to the right. From the front to the back. Holy Spirit, anoint the prophet. We gather around him as witnesses in time to bring to pass your counsel. Let the eyes of that one open now. Now focus, focus, focus. Somebody is about to see an open vision, a graphic vision. There are three possible things you will see. One is about your calling, what God will have you to do. You will see it walking in it now. Now, I make it happen by the Spirit. Holy Ghost. Kataratas. Vragadis karaktikalis karantas. Vara vragadadas kariandadas. Beresk, 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 beresk. Equip the prophet, Lord.
Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
Somebody is about to have an experience of an angelic being now. From what I perceive in the spirit, it's like touch. Touch, a literal, very literal touch, as if somebody held you, is a connection with the angelic realm. Intercession is about to shift gear. The one you spoke about, let the radar go over that one now. Let the radar go over that one. The wind of the spirit. God will use you, sister. The anointings, the things that were trapped on those altars, they've come for you now. And so, Spirit of God, I ask that the wind of your spirit settle her now and bring her into the center of her calling. The prophecies that went forth, the sacrifices, the prayers, the incense, let them begin to speak now by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Let the wind of God carry her now into the center of our ordination. Holy Spirit, brood upon her like a whirlwind. Like a whirlwind, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let the procession begin.
Hallelujah.
Talking to a young minister here, he said, I want to teach you how to move my, how to make me come upon the scene. It's a lesson to teach you for long, but you've not found security in God. So you come to a place, you're under pressure, in case it doesn't happen, in case it happens. God is telling you today, I want to furnish trust in your heart. Trust. So
beyond activity, the meeting, beyond operation, you will look upon me and trust. You will not look at the faces of the people, the expression, with trust. And you will see my hand. The Lord is speaking to a young minister. I hear it in my ears. Who is this person? Let me just pray with you quickly. Very quickly. Just step forward. Let me so that I will, my prayers will be correctly directed. These are fears that are in the heart of preachers. You don't tell anybody, they are there. And in fact, one of you, God is going to do a work, a very quick work in you to deal with flesh. Because ministration is not a show. It is becoming an event through which God can do what he wants to do per time. It's an overflow of the life of God. You don't need to kneel down, brother. Just stand up. It's the Lord himself that says he wants to furnish it in your heart.
On your throne.
You see, when you travel around, you will understand that these things are not activities orchestrated in the flesh. There are places you will go, you will talk, and when you are done preaching, everybody will look at you like this. The word will hit them and come back. But God will still tell you, this is what he wants to do. That's when men become. Tell the Lord that you are open now. Put the struggle aside. And while you are yet speaking, the hand of God will come upon one of you. The hand of God. I tell you the truth, this is not how I wanted this service to be. I wanted yesterday to be a rehearsal. But we don't control these things. He's the governor of the realm. At the end of the day, what he wants to achieve is what is important. Father, they've stepped out in faith. That which you want to do in them, do now. We join faith with you. I join faith with you, brother. I join faith with you. I join faith with you. I join faith with you. Thank you, Father. We'll pray for the sick now, and then we'll be out of here. But many of you, a sequence of encounters have been activated in your life. You will see that many days from now, every night will be an encounter. Every night. There's somebody here that will have encounters consistently every night for 7 days. Consistently for 7 days. Some of you have come to a place where your destiny is implicated for service. There's an anointing that is about to come on somebody before we pray for the sick. It's an apostolic mantle. You see, this person has been troubled over time because God wants him to. You see, lady. Help me, Lord. God wants this person to pioneer a walk. But there's been fear. There's been restraint. And God wants to place an ability. That ability will form the audacity to step forward. It may be fought, but it's an ordination. Jesus said it is hard to kick against the pricks. Father, even in this calm atmosphere, where is the one you are placing that garment upon? From the left to the right, from the front to the back. Lord, clothe this one. Just be calm. The grace is coming. It will come like a wind. It will come like a wind. Clothe this one. Clothe this one. Clothe this one. Help the brother. Help the sister. Clothe this one. It's an apostolic mantle. The power to pioneer purposes. The power to pioneer spiritual operations. Close this one. The anointing is still hovering. Clothe them, Lord. People who can venture out for Jesus. Paul said, if I be a servant of men, I'm not a servant of God. They can even step out, even if it's not consistent with their own desires. It's an apostolic mantle. Clothe them, Lord. Clothe them. There's one more person. I still sense the anointing. I still sense it. Holy Ghost! Call it. The Lord said, He's promoting you. And listen, as a sign, between now and 7 days, you have 3 graphic encounters. You know me, I'm with you. I can't tell you and run away. Between now and 7 days, you have 3 graphic encounters. Because the Lord is activating a prophetic operation to sharpen your sword in prayer. That anointing, that grace have been hovering around you for about 6 months. But He says it's time to enter. And so, Father, I join faith with you. Now, I say, let the gates open. Let the gates open. Let the gates open. If you are sick, just place your hands there. That's the last thing we'll be doing tonight. We are already out of time. You are sick, place your hands there. Somebody just calm the sister down. Let peace be still. Peace be still. You are near to her. Just calm her. Peace be still. Let's not distort the delicate balance of our atmosphere. Let's keep it calm. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I arrest every spirit of infirmity. Every spirit of infirmity that have afflicted your people. You say healing is the children's bread. And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. You didn't send us to lecture. You sent us to witness. You say, as the Father has sent you, so you send us. And so on the strength around, I take up every infirmity, every plague on the body and on the mind. And I charge every devil and every demon that have put people in captivity. Right now, your hold is broken in the name of Jesus. The chains are broken in the name of Jesus. Pain of all sort, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, depart in the name of Jesus. Blood infections, organ infections, I command you, your grip is broken. There is liberty, there is deliverance, there is healing right now. Let the affliction die. Every growth, abnormal growth, dematerializes right now in the name of Jesus. Every bone infection is hereby corrected. And every weakness of the body
is replaced with strength. Your eyes are healed. Your ears are healed. Your brains are healed. Your minds are healed. Your bodies are delivered from the affliction of the devil. I declare you healed in the name of Jesus. And you are made whole. Thank you, Father. Thank you, precious Jesus. We are going to sing for 1 minute. And we'll take 2 testimonies. For those who are healed of what they can verify. And then the man that saw the open vision, we will hear from you. Do we have that time? Okay, we'll pray for him now. We'll pray for him. Let's pray for somebody on the phone quickly. You don't need to try to mechanically make it high. No. Just praise God. Calm. Calmly. Calmly. Let's not get mechanical. As we praise God, check your body. You have the manifest.
Hallelujah.
Where's the brother that saw a vision? Someone was supposed to see a vision. Okay, let's sit down. You saw a vision, wave your hand, let me see you quickly. Is there anybody like that? You saw a vision while we prayed. You are sure you saw a vision? Come, let's hear what you saw. Somebody is supposed to have seen a vision about your calling. That's what the Lord told me. Yes, what did you see? It's personal. But it's about your calling.